When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born? Christmas hymns, we all know what they sound like, right? They will paint a picture of the nativity scene for us, as they ought to. The historical facts here are vital. And then there are Christmas hymns that go above and beyond the call of duty, as really any good hymn should do, and doesn't just give us a musical version of that beautiful night, that night where Christ was born, and perhaps even our sentiments about it, but they talk about the reason for that birth, and they talk about the reason that that child, God and man, lies in that manger and will eventually hang dead on a cross. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk with Pastor Peter Bender in this first hour about the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. It's one of those hymns that I think goes above and beyond the call of duty. In the second hour of the program, we'll discuss the birth of Jesus in the Old Testament. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. Pastor Peter Bender is a regular guest, and he's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy and pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Blessed Christmas to you, Todd.
As you read the stanzas of this hymn, what makes this particular hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices, what makes it stand out among all of the Christmas hymns that we're singing during this season?
It is simply dripping with the gospel that the Son of God became one with our flesh and blood to bear fully the load of our sin and guilt and the judgment and condemnation of the law, and he did it so freely and willingly in selfless love for us in order to reconcile us to God, to free us from our sin, from Satan's power, from eternal condemnation. It is, so many Christmas carols and hymns are superficial, and this hymn gets at the heart of the incarnation. Why did the Son of God become enfleshed? He became enfleshed with our flesh and blood to bear our sin as the Lamb of God and the heavenly bridegroom who sacrifices himself for us. And in him, his body and blood given and shed upon the cross, we are freed from sin, and the kingdom of heaven, paradise, is open to us. It's one of my two favorite Christmas hymns.
One of the things that probably recommends it to many is its author. The author of the text is Paul Gerhardt of no small fame in Lutheran hymnody. Talk about this man and his pen in this hymn.
Well, Paul Gerhardt was a pastor, and he was a pastor in difficult times, during times of such disease in Germany's congregation that he had to bury literally hundreds over the course of several years, and the reality of sin's devastating effects on humanity, not only death, but the scourge of warfare, the suffering of disease, of persecution. And in the backdrop of all of that, where he was called to be a pastor, his hymns speak such overwhelming joy in what God has done in not abandoning humanity in its sin and in what sin and its consequences brought upon us, but it just, like effervescence in joy, is these hymns speak forth the gospel of God's love in the incarnation, where all of the suffering and all of the hardship and all of the misery and all of the death of humanity because of sin, Christ has taken upon himself.
See, that's what you don't get in a lot of these, as you called them, superficial Christmas hymns, where it's kind of assumed that the world is a great place. It's kind of assumed that the world is a happy place, and we're just happier than usual
right.
on this day. But Gerhard's hymn, especially this one, says the world is a terrible, broken, dying place, and we have a reason to rejoice.
And the Son of God entered into that broken place to restore it. And so often Christmas becomes an escape from reality. And the thing about the Gerhard's hymns is that they stare reality in the face, but because of what Christ has done, because he has become man for us to suffer and die, we are not afraid. He has taken all of our sin, he has taken all of the judgment, and he has freed us, and in him we have life, and we lack absolutely nothing. And therefore, in the words of St. Paul in Romans 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And that shines so brilliantly through in these hymns.
Before we hear the first stanza, including that verse that you just mentioned, where would you locate the biblical roots for this hymn?
That's the thing about Gerhard's hymns, is there's no one place. I mean, you have the classic Christmas story from Luke 2, but you also have John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. You've got, you can take with this hymn, it's in the Lutheran service book, there are 6 stanzas. Originally, the hymn had 15 stanzas, and you could take the entire book of Romans and the book of Galatians, which speak of justification by grace alone through faith in Christ. You take things like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You've got passages like Ephesians chapter 1, that doxology of praise, that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And that, Todd, is only scratching the surface of the allusions to biblical phrases, texts, passages that are in Gerhard's hymn.
Well, let's hear it for ourselves. The first stanza of All My Heart This Night Rejoices. All my heart this night rejoices, as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Christ is born, their choirs are singing, till the air everywhere now with joy is ringing. What are your thoughts on that first stanza in particular, Pastor Bender?
Well, I think of the lovely passages in the Gospels that chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, for example, when he speaks of the angels and their joy over one sinner who repents and is brought into the kingdom of God's salvation in Christ. And this is what the angels were singing about when that whole company of the heavenly host, after the angel of the Lord announced to the shepherds, "There is born to you a Savior, is Christ the Lord," they just burst forth into singing. And what they were singing about was it is God's greatest joy and the greatest joy of the angels to bring this salvation to fallen humanity, to send forth his Son to redeem. We couldn't crawl up to God by our own works and accomplishments. He has come down from heaven and has joined himself to us in order to redeem us with the shedding of his blood. And that's what the angels sing about. Christ is born, a Savior, and the signs of it are not the palace and the trappings of great wealth and pomp, but rather the swaddling clothes and the manger bed. And there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who is brought to repentance and faith in Christ than over the multitude of others who believe they need no such salvation. And it's God's greatest joy to give it, and that's what the angels are singing about.
So you're saying that the angels are not simply rejoicing because they've kind of been, on that Christmas night, because they've kind of been called along to be the chorus for the spectacle, but because they themselves have their highest joy in the salvation of mankind.
That's exactly right. And the thing about this hymn of Paul Gerhardt's is it features the proclamation of the gospel. When the angel of the Lord announced to the shepherds, you know, do not be afraid, fear not, there is born to you in the city of David a Savior, Savior for all people, Christ the Lord. You have the proclamation of the gospel. There's glory to God in the highest because he has come down to humanity in the lowest. And therefore, there is God's peace and his goodwill, his grace and favor toward mankind. And so the hymn highlights a proclamation of the forgiveness of sins in the incarnation, suffering, and death of Jesus.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy and pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. On this Christmas Eve, we're studying the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. It's quite true. That's what the angel says when he appears to the shepherds. He says, I bring you good news. What is he saying there? Let's put it in the parlance that we're accustomed to today. He says, I bring you the gospel. Unto you this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. It's the beginning of the gospel. That's why Paul Gerhardt writes on about this, because there's more to the good news than simply the birth of the Savior. We really don't get to the good news until we explain how he is our Savior, and we'll do that in the following stanzas of the hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices, with Pastor Peter Bender. While the angels are singing, while they are rejoicing, and the shepherds are wondering at what they're hearing, Christ has entered humanity. He has entered not only our flesh, but also our world, and he is bent even from the manger upon redeeming all of it. We'll talk more about that after this.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, I know that later tonight on this Christmas Eve, many parents will be reading to their children Christmas books. But remember that Christmas Eve is just the eve of a season, and those Christmas books are appropriate for the next 12 days. And CPH has a brand new one in the series of famous Arch books called O Holy Night. Just a bit of it. See how beautifully and how succinctly in poetic form it tells the story of the angels' good news. It says, a promised night, a holy night, the tiny Savior came in lowly manger bed, born God and man the same. There's the message of the angels to the shepherds right there in one little verse of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, O Holy Night, from Concordia Publishing House. Browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or call and order O Holy Night for this Christmas season for your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, O Holy Night. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest, and we're looking at the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Here stands the two. Here the conqueror has spoken, now the foe, sin and woe, death and hell are broken. God is man, man to deliver, and the Son now is one with our blood forever. This stanza really puts it in a very pointed way, Pastor Bender. God is man. The Christmas celebration is a celebration of the incarnation, not just the nativity. Talk about that.
If I were to pick a favorite stanza, and it's hard to do that, it would probably be stanza two, because of that line, God is man, man to deliver, and the Son now is one with our blood forever. It speaks of the happy or blessed exchange, as Luther spoke of it, where God became man to take upon himself all of our sin, that everything that God is, we might receive as a free gift of salvation and life in Christ. And so he joins himself to us, and all of our sin he takes, and all of his righteousness he gives. And this stanza depicts him as the conquering bridegroom for the sake of his bride, the church. He's the conqueror, and the foe is Satan, and sin and death and hell are broken through the sacrifice of himself upon the cross, all because God became man to deliver man, that we might become partakers of the divine nature and reconciled to God in Christ. It's just a lovely stanza that gets at the very heart of the incarnation.
There's a line there at the end that I don't know if Gerhard intended it, but certainly can be sung with a double entendre. Not only that the Son is now one with our blood forever in the sense that he has entered our human race in the incarnation, but also that it is by his blood that we are truly one with him. Talk about that.
It is by his blood that we are one with him. He not only sheds his blood for us in atonement for sin in the sacrifice of himself upon the cross, but then this blood of the Son of God, in which there is life because there's forgiveness of sins, and where there's forgiveness, there is life with God and salvation, and therefore there is communion with God. And so he not only sheds his blood to restore the communion, but in the blood of the sacrament of the altar, we partake of that life-giving blood. And so the small catechism reminds us that the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness, life, and salvation are given us through these words, in that blood of the sacrament, for where there's forgiveness, there's life with God, and there is salvation from all sin, from all death and hell. And then stanza three erupts, then, should we fear our God's displeasure? No way. If we're in communion with our Lord, in his blood given and shed for us, then all sin, All sin is forgiven. All sin is cleansed. And there is nothing separating us from God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. More communion language from Romans chapter 8. But that's why Gerhard goes into stanza 3 there. Should we fear our God's displeasure? No. Who to save freely gave his most precious treasure. To redeem us, he has given his own Son from the throne of his might in heaven, and we partake of him in the sacrament of the altar. And I can't imagine a Christmas celebration that really focuses on and celebrates faithfully the incarnation of our Lord that doesn't include the celebration of the Lord's Supper and partaking of that body and blood in the sacrament.
I hear in this stanza not only the echoes of passages about how Christ has come to redeem us from the wrath of God, but also the passage where it says, if he did not spare his own Son, how shall he not also along with him give us all things? Do you think that Gerhard had that in mind?
Oh, absolutely. That Romans 8 passage that asks those rhetorical questions. Since God did not spare his own Son, will he not also along with him freely and graciously give us all things? And that's I think it's a very important emphasis that you just brought up, Todd, because sometimes we can just speak of Christ's work of salvation as appeasing the angry God who is a judge, and then the sin is atoned for, so his wrath is appeased. But you have missing from that and is the concept of God's love, his undying, selfless, eternal love for humanity. And that love comes out in the fact that Jesus is so willing to take upon himself the consequences of man's own rebellion. So the image of no wonder he's called the Everlasting Father, not because he and the Father are the same person, but he's like the Father who so loves his child that he's willing to sacrifice himself that the child might live. And he's the bridegroom who loves his bride so much that he is willing to give his life that she might live and be cleansed through the washing of water and the Word, Ephesians chapter 5. He is the Lamb of God who is freely sacrificed to take away the sin of the world. So we can't simply talk about, you know, appeasing God's wrath and judgment. We must talk about the motivation for God becoming man is love and the restoration of communion with us, a communion that had been severed because of Adam and Eve's choice to turn away from the God of love. And that's why sin came into the world and its consequence of death. And God so loves that he is not about to allow that sin and death to deter him from the fellowship and communion that he willed to have with us from the foundation of the world. And that's what Christmas is really all about.
And that's kind of the thing that I wanted you to talk about here with just a minute or two before our break. And that is, and I'm glad you brought out the foundation of the world thing, because God had committed himself from all eternity to this course of action for us. And the mystery of his will that we cannot understand, even before our fall, he had committed himself to our redemption through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not as though Christmas night, the first Christmas night, really changes anything. It's not as though, okay, now he has to do it. He sent his Son. He eternally gives his Son as the redemption for our sins. About a minute and a half.
Yeah, he always wanted to be in fellowship of love, in a communion of love and life with us from the beginning, and that life is found in the eternal Son of the Father, who is begotten of the Father from eternity, and from eternity wills to become one with us and to give of himself to us. And so God is not changing the overall movement of his love toward humanity from creation to salvation. Rather, we see a sharpening of what that love really has always been from eternity. So it's not as if God creates man in love and then, oh, sin, and now what are we going to do about this? God creates man in love, and because he wants to be in communion and fellowship with us and to give himself to us, and when man turns away from him, his love does not stop, and nor does his desire to be in communion with us cease, but he becomes man. But the dimension of that incarnation then means that he is compelled by his own self-giving, loving nature to take our sin upon himself and to redeem us through the sacrifice of himself upon the cross.
And we will hear that in stanza 4 coming out of this break. See the Lamb our sin once taking to the cross, suffering loss, full atonement making for our life. His own he tenders, and his grace all our race fit for glory renders. We'll talk about stanza 4 of All My Heart This Night Rejoices with Pastor Peter Bender after this.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over 2 centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues, etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues, etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues, etc. IssuesETC.org.
Truth-centered. Mission outreach. You're listening to Issues, etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues, etc. around the world? India.
Sweden. Egypt.
France. Turkey.
Japan. Australia.
Canada. United Kingdom.
Hong Kong. Austria.
Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
To the cross, suffering loss, full atonement made.
fourth stanza of the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're studying this hymn stanza by stanza. And at the end of our conversation, we'll hear the entire hymn and get Pastor Bender's final thoughts. What are your thoughts on stanza four?
You can hear John chapter 1, where the Baptist learns at the baptism of Jesus even a fuller understanding of the Savior whose way he's proclaiming. When he comes up out of the water, then John announces, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then he understands the mission and purpose for the Son of God coming into the world to be the Lamb of God, to have imputed to him all sin, the sin of all humanity, and the judgment of the law. And it falls upon him in the cross, in his suffering and death, and by it he makes full payment or atonement for our sins. He gives his own life for us in our place, that we might live and have our life restored to God. And it is all, as Gerhardt indicates at the end of the hymn, a gift of God's grace, not by any merit or worthiness on our part, that righteousness of God, not by the works of the law, but as a gift of God's grace in the merits of Jesus. It's objective gospel, stanza four, and clearly sets forth what it is that Christ came to do, which is suffer and die as the Lamb of God.
Now, you use the word imputed there. Is that part of what Luther and so many others after him have seen as such a beautiful way of proclaiming that gospel, what did he call it? The happy exchange.
Yeah, the happy exchange. The imputation that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, we hear every Good Friday, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So much of the book of Exodus and Leviticus that speaks about the divine service of the Old Testament in talking about those sacrifices, the burnt offerings and the sin offerings. You think of the scapegoat. There was imputed to those animals the sins of the people, and that was a sign and a figure of how the world's sin would be imputed, declared to be upon the Son of God, making him the very Lamb and sacrifice in our place. We could not do it. There needed to be another who would do it for us, another whose very life and being and righteousness alone can pay the price for sin, and that is our Lord Jesus.
Now, the fifth stanza is one of my favorites in this. Softly from his lowly manger, Jesus calls one and all, "You are safe from danger, children. From the sins that grieve you, you are freed. All you need, I will surely give you." The thing I really like about that, Pastor Bender, is, and it is poetic license, there's no doubt about it, but it's so theologically right to have this newborn babe saying these things even from the manger.
That's right. How many of us are terrified of a slumbering newborn infant? There are hardly any pictures that are more peaceful and calming and soothing than a sleeping babe lying before us. And that image does not cause fear. I'm a new grandpa this year, and when I look at my granddaughters, especially when they're calmly sleeping, not when they need their diaper changed and they're maybe screaming, but when they're softly sleeping or when they're cooing there and looking up at you, I don't dread them. I don't fear them in the slightest. And so this picture that is picked up in stanza five of Jesus preaching even from the manger but he does so with a soft voice. You know, I mentioned that stanza 4 proclaims the gospel so objectively. Well, here in stanza 5, we hear it subjectively, and by that I mean applied to you, Todd, so that you need not be afraid of your sin. And he speaks to you in the soft and reassuring tones, I know your sin, I know your grief, I know your sorrow. That's why I have come for you. I love you, and I've come to redeem you with my blood. You're freed. All you need, I will surely give you. You're safe from all the danger of your sin. And when I mentioned, you know, you could take the entire book of Romans or Galatians, it's absolutely true what is the backdrop for these hymns of Gerhardt. And you think of Paul in Romans 7, where he's wrestling with the reality that the good that I would, I don't do, and that which I would not is the very thing that I do, a wretched man that I am. There's this frustration that we can feel as Christians because, according to our faith in Christ, we desire to love God and to love our neighbor, yet we can't carry it off, and our conscience is often assaulted by our own sinful weaknesses. So this stanza speaks in comforting, soft, reassuring tones. I'm your Savior. I know your sin. You're freed. All you need, I will surely give you.
It's also so Luther-esque. There's that famous quote, I'm sure you're familiar with it, where Luther is writing about the baby in the manger and saying things like, I have no God except that boy. And he's reflecting what you said before there, that this is, could there be a more comforting way for him to come to me who ought to rightly fear the wrath of God? Do you think that's part of the, we can't say for sure, part of the calculus of God saying, this is how I will enter the world?
Oh, absolutely. And this is unique to Christianity. It's only Christianity that has a God who is not wholly other, transcendent, far away, distant from us, but one who comes down to us right where we are, and not only right where we are, but then joins himself to our very flesh and to our very blood for our comfort, for the restoration of our life with God, that we might be in fellowship with his love. Gorgeous.
Here is the final stanza, stanza 6 of All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Come then, banish all your sadness, one and all, great and small. Come with songs of gladness. We shall live with him forever there on high, in that joy which will vanish never. We have a few minutes here before we take our next break. What are your thoughts on the final stanza of this hymn?
One of the things I find in pastoral care is that when someone comes to confession privately, grieved by their sins, and I proclaim to them Christ's absolution, and I attempt to give them further passages of comfort that underscore the promise that they of forgiveness that they have in the gospel, to reassure them that it is not only okay, but it is quite correct to rejoice in this salvation and gift. Yes, I am a sinner according to my flesh. Yes, according to the judgment of the law, I deserve punishment, but I truly have been freed from that, and Christ has done it joyfully. He has made all things new for me, and for you, and for all people, in the sacrifice of himself. And his delight is that we delight in that gift. Come then, banish all your sadness, one and all, great and small, come with songs of gladness. That we should not be afraid to rejoice in the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation, that the righteousness of Christ is ours. And so that when God looks at you, and when he looks at me, he sees Jesus himself, righteous, holy, undefiled, and we shall live with him forever there on high. In that joy of God's love and salvation in Christ, which is what God the Father so freely wanted to give us, and it is his delight to do it, and he wants us to delight in it. And that's a powerful source of strength for living the Christian life, a real joy that is rooted not in my successes, my accomplishments, my works, my, you know, lofty spiritual life. It is rooted in Christ's righteousness. That's the source of joy that no one can take from us.
When we come back, I got one more question before we hear the entire hymn here. And it's rooted in exactly what Pastor Bender said there. Do you think it is possible, and maybe it is, that even for Christians, the joy of this season is a little hollow because we truncate the gospel of Christmas? We speak only of the birth. We speak only of the rejoicing of the angels and the shepherds. We do not push past, as this hymn requires us to do, to the cross, to the tomb, to the empty tomb, and to the resurrected and ascended Christ, even to his presence among us in the forgiveness of sins through his word and sacrament. We'll get Pastor Peter Bender's answer to that right after this.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin on Christmas and on the conversion of Paul. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and conversion of Paul sermons.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Christmas Eve, we are studying the hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy and pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. By the way, if you appreciate the insights of Pastor Bender, you'll find a great series that we did with him last year on the subject of Christian vocation. We discussed husbands and wives, employers and employees, civil authorities and citizens, and more. It's a great series. Our listeners absolutely love it. And you can listen to this great series at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. A couple quick questions before we hear the entire hymn, Pastor Bender. Do you think that sometimes even a Christian's joy in this season rings a bit hollow because we truncate the Christmas gospel? We keep it just a story of a birth?
Oh, I think very much so. And the joy that the angels sang about at the first Christmas is the joy that we have now, precisely because Jesus has taken our suffering and our pain into himself, and he shares it with us. He knows it. And he not only knows it and has shared it with us, but he's shed his blood to redeem us from everything that's broken and everything that has caused us pain and sorrow, from the death of loved ones to broken relationships to the struggle with one's own personal weaknesses. He has taken it all, and he has, and he knows it, and still he loves, and he proclaims a message of forgiveness that we might be restored to the joy of salvation that's found in him.
So in that vein, with about a minute here, your pastoral word from this hymn to someone, and there are many who are this way, for whom Christmas is the saddest time of the year precisely because they missed loved ones who are no longer with them.
The banishing of sadness that is spoken of here is not the absence of sorrow, Todd. It's not the absence of tears. We're going to grieve, and we should grieve. And to expect someone to get over, as if it has never happened, someone that they've been married to for 50, 60 years, who is taken from them, and not recognize the pain and the sorrow that that will cause, is ridiculous. We are going to feel that pain and suffering. So the sadness that is being banished here is the sadness of despair, the sadness that all is lost, that there is no hope, there's only death. But that's not Christian. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve as those who have hope, and our hope is in Christ, who bore our sin and death in his own body to the tree. And in the Lord's Supper on Christmas, we are the closest to our loved ones there at the altar. To use the words of another hymn, the great For All the Saints, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Alleluia. And we're one in Christ, who became flesh and blood for us. And we are enabled to have our sadness and the tears of joy at the same time, knowing that how greatly God must love us, that he took all of that into himself to redeem us, and that we might have fellowship with him, so that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so we need to face our losses head on in the full knowledge that Christ has taken the suffering and death into himself, and we're one with him, and he with our blood.
Let's hear the entire hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Pastor Bender, your final thoughts on this hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices.
Todd, I think that one of the things about the great Lutheran hymns, like Gerhardt's, that we need to underscore for our people is that they're sermons of law and gospel, they're sermons that proclaim Christ, and the comfort that we have in him, and in the case of this hymn, the comfort that we have in that the Son of God became man for us to bear our sin. And sometimes when we hear sermons on Sunday mornings, there are times when our pastor really connects with us and we think, boy, I'd like to take that sermon with me, and I don't want to forget it because it was so powerful and it was so comforting. And through the proclamation of the word in that sermon, the Spirit of God really strengthened me. Well, that's the thing about these hymns. We can take them with us. Memorizing, learning things by heart is kind of a lost art among Christians. We ought to bring it back. And nothing could be more salutary for a Christian, particularly if they're suffering a loss of some kind, and then at this Christmas time to take up this hymn, a stanza or two or three, and learn them by heart. And then they'll always be with us. And it'll continue to minister to us the sweet, comforting gospel of the Word who became flesh for us to redeem us with his blood. God is man, man to deliver, and the Son now is one with our blood forever.
Pastor Peter Bender is director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy and pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Peter, as usual, thank you very much, and a blessed Christmas season and celebration to you and your congregation.
You're welcome, Todd, and same to you and everybody there at Issues and all the listeners.
Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to our hymn studies this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. Send it to Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening this year. And thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. In the next hour on this Christmas Eve, we will be talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about the birth of Christ foretold in the Old Testament. I like the way that Pastor Bender described that, the joy of Christmas, the joy of Christ's incarnation, of his birth, of all that flows from it, from his life that he will live in perfect obedience before God as our substitute, in the death that he will die as our substitute, his rest in the tomb again there in our place as our substitute, and his resurrection. Ultimately, that holds the promise that one day, since he has been raised as our substitute, we too must be raised from the dead. Eternal life. The whole swath of salvation, the joy that is there is not the absence of sorrow. It's not the absence of a realization that the world that we live in here and now as we feebly struggle is in fact broken beyond repair, broken by us, by our sin, and dying with no hope whatsoever outside of Christ, of averting death or answering death's final word. And yet the joy of Christmas, of Christ himself, remains in spite of that sorrow. We experience both, and rightly so. And on the last day, dear Christian friends, the joy will in Christ have the final word. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300: Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York; Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama; Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California; St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan; Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri; the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California; St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.